I would invite you to turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. The 14th chapter. What does America need? What does America need? When we think about the day in which we celebrate, being the 4th of July, our Independence Day, we need to realize that we are not independent and never meant to be independent from God. But what do we need as a nation? I picked up something I thought was very, very accurate, and I added one to it, so I'll tell you when I added that. What America needs? It needs a leader like Moses who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but was willing to go with God wherever. We need an army general like Joshua who knew God and could pray and shout things to pass rather than to blow them into oblivion with atomic or nuclear energy. We need a food administrator like Joseph who knew God and had an answer to famine. We need a preacher like Peter who was not afraid to look people in the eyes and say, repent or perish, and denounce their personal as well as their national sin. We need mothers like Hannah, who would pray for a child that she might give him to God, rather than women who are delinquent mothers of delinquent children. We need children like Samuel, who would talk to God in the night hours. We need a physician like Luke, who could care for the physical needs and introduce their patients to Jesus Christ, who is a specialist in spiritual matters. We need a God like Israel instead of the dollar God, the entertainment God, and the auto God. We need a Savior like Jesus who could and would save them from the guttermost to the uttermost. And the one I added is we need a witness like Philip who will go wherever God leads, even if it's in the desert. Tonight, as we look together in our passage of Scripture, and I titled the message, Let Freedom Ring. Storm clouds of war once hovered over the infant nation, and the War of 1812 was well underway in full force. A couple of years later, in 1814, the British were attacking Baltimore, and among the prisoners on a British warship was a young American named Francis Scott Key. The battle raged all night long. Fort Henry had been under attack and beaten, but when the sun came up on the eastern horizon in all its splendor, Key looked toward the battlefields and saw an American flag still waving against the blue skies. He took out a piece of paper and a pen, and he wrote these words, Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts and we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? We hear that sung at many gatherings, ball games, and such as that. But the next verse, or one of the verses, was this. It says, Oh, thus let it be when free men shall stand between their loved homes and world's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made us and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. The flag. The flag has been an inspiration to many across the years. They have fought and died under its colors. Their last measure of devotion has been poured out on 1,000 battlefields because of their love for those stars and stripes. It has a place in our sanctuary and in our thoughts as Christian people today in a free land as we enjoy that. It is only as long as our flag, as the flag of our country and all that it symbolizes is flying, that we are able to read our Bibles, to go to church, and to worship the Lord according to the dictates of our hearts. And folks, let me tell you something. We need to wake up and smell the roses. Smell the roses. I picked up something else. says the title of it is Let Freedom Ring. It says, in America we are building superhighways, but few are traveling on the highway of holiness. We are building great cities, but we have little concern for the city four square whose builder and maker is God. We're endeavoring to conquer space, but we have failed to conquer sin, Satan, and ourselves. We are a land of guided missiles and misguided men. We fear the power of the H-bomb and the nuclear bomb, but we have no fear of God before our eyes. We enjoy more convenience than any other nation, but these do not draw us closer to God. We are building bigger and better institutions of learning while the knowledge of God and His Word is shelved and rejected. America has a day of celebration when it would be better if she were in a day of fasting and mourning and praying and repenting. America views lust on the screens when she needs to be reading the handwriting on the wall. America listens to the rock and roll music and all the other things when she should be heeding the divine warning and tuning in to the sweet music of heaven. America's feeding its minds on the obscene literature when it needs to be daily researching the scripture. America is building more and more church buildings, and at the same time, it is building more and more and larger penal institutions. More people belong to the church today, but at the same time, more people are to be found at the lakes and the beaches and the ball games and the racetracks and the golf courses, watching TV and all the other things that come along with it. In America, we are experiencing a home building craze. And at the same time, 3 out of 5 marriages fail and end in divorce, and others are only held together by a mere thread. Look at our scripture today. Would you stand with me for the reading of it? In Proverbs, the 14th chapter.
Can you turn your
verse 34. I didn't think I needed it. Okay. The writer of Proverbs wrote these words. Read it with me. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Hebrew term there for any people is any nation. Look at verse 6. It says, In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. The psalmist penned some words in Psalm 11:3 that says this, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let's pray together. Father, we bow to give You thanks for today. We thank You for the privilege of life. And Lord, we thank You for the liberty that we have as a citizen of the United States of America, in which we had no control whatsoever over. You have allowed us to be birthed into this great nation. And there are responsibilities as well as privileges that goes along with it. So many of us, Lord, want to enjoy the privileges, but we forget about the responsibilities that lie before us. We need to recognize that we were birthed as a nation under God. Under God, and that has significance and should have meaning today. But we have so many that are trying to do away with You, O God, and we need to wake up and look them in the eye and realize that apart from You, there would be no nation, there would be no America. And God, I pray tonight that as we look together at Your flag, the symbol of our freedom, as we let freedom ring, God, help us to recognize and understand what it signifies, what it means, and what it says to us as a people of God. Help us, oh God, to recognize the greatness of who You are, because we know, Lord, that You're still in control, and Your stimulus package is for us to just trust You and to look to You. And through that, we can know and understand what it means to have the peace that passes all understanding. Oh God, tonight, would You help us to be open to Your will and to Your purpose. We pray, Lord, for the anointing power of Your Spirit to just have Your will accomplished in each of our lives. In Jesus' strong and powerful name we pray, and for His glory alone. Amen. As we look at the passage before us tonight, we want to use as a prop the flag. The flag. What do you see when you look at the flag? As we think about the title of the message, Let Freedom Ring, when you look at the American flag, what does it say to you? What is the colors and what do they represent? When we think about the flag, what is it? When you look at the flag, you'll notice its colors, because I believe that these colors has a tremendous message for us tonight as we look together. They have a significant message for our time as a people of God, and we need to recognize and understand. The things that we need to see is how desperately we need a revival of faith of our fathers and of patriotism in the land in which we live, and which land we say that is really great, and I believe that it is. For only we will stand as a nation on our spiritual heritage as we think about God and trust Him in every aspect of life, because it is only through God's providence that we're here, and it's only through God's protection that we have stood as a country as long as we have. And we need to recognize and understand the significance of what America is, because as I believe with every fiber of my being that we need to wake up, because let me tell you something, folks, we have those who are undermining the patriotism for which our forefathers has sacrificed and made possible for us the freedom that we enjoy tonight to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. We need to wake up, folks, and look at that. Look at the colors for just a moment. Look at the red. What does it stand for? It stands for blood. It stands for blood. It stands for blood that was shed on 1,000 battlefields, in foxholes, in jungles, in far-flung continents where thousands upon thousands of our soldier boys have laid down their lives and given their last measure of devotion for you and for me, so that we tonight can enjoy freedom. Freedom. Yet, also interwoven in the patriotic truth of a spiritual truth, the flag of our country as well as a spiritual heritage of our country are interlocked and they are inseparable. And that is, even so, on a hill called Calvary, on a place called Golgotha, where the very Son of God there gave His life. He shed His blood so that we could have freedom. And it is through His blood that was shed, that it came from the rich veins of God, the royal veins of God Himself, because we know that in and through what Jesus did for us there at the cross, that He shed His blood so that you and I could know what it means to have the cleansing of our sin, the forgiveness of sin, and to be in a right relationship with Almighty God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, cleanses us from all our sins, as John says. Why do we look at that? There is no real reason. There is no real reason to live in a free country if we are not free from sin and we are free in Christ. The ideal of true freedom is found in the Christian message. What Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And let me tell you, apart from Him, there is no truth. There is no truth. We sang that song. Sing it with me. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you something. There is no other means of cleansing from sin than the blood of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. Apart from Him, there is no sin cleansing effect in the world today, in our church today. And let me tell you something. We have so many that are building their church and the philosophy of their church on everything but the blood. Everything but the blood. They're using psychology to try to tell people that everything is all right. Don't worry about your sin. There's no such thing. But let me tell you, according to the writing of God's word, there is. And that's why God dealt the blow of sin there at the cross of Calvary, where He allowed His Son to give His life and shed His blood for you and for me. The blood, the red stands for blood. The blood that was shed for us. Then look at the white. The white stands for purity. It stands for purity of purpose and position. Purpose and position. As America, at one time we were looked up to because of the very tenets that we held on to, and those things that we had put our faith and trust in as we looked to God for guidance and direction. But no longer today,
No longer today. Why? We have lost sight of what it means. We have lost sight of that white which stands for purity. We're telling the world that America, with all of our power as a nation, it is powerless unless we build our country on a godly, consecrated, and separated Christian life today. The Apostle Peter said something. He says in Peter, 1 Peter 1:16, he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." What do we mean by that? Be ye holy, for I am holy. That says to me that God is saying through Simon Peter there as he wrote that we need to recognize that we serve a holy God. We cannot doubt that. But he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." In other words, we're to take on the characteristics of our Father who is holy. A life of purity. Purity. Abraham Lincoln once said, "If America ever fails, it will not fall from an enemy from without, but rather from an enemy within." Are we not today, boy, I don't have time to get into that. If we're not today allowing the enemy to encroach on our principles and the precepts and all the things that we stand for as a nation, the purpose of who we are and the principles for which we have been founded, we're allowing the enemy to destroy and to take away those things today. We need to wake up, folks, and really smell the roses, because in and through the providence of God is only the reason we are here tonight. The blue, as we think about the white, it stands for purity. But we need to recognize and understand that in and through this, here is our weak point in our national makeup at the present time, because we have allowed the enemy to come in. And let me tell you something. I don't care what the politicians are saying. I don't care what others are saying. We need to recognize that we have allowed the enemy to enter our homelands. And we need to recognize and understand that 8/11 was just a sign, a handwriting on the wall of the enemy that's already here. They're not here to bless and to help us out. They're here to destroy. Destroy. To take away your freedom, to take away your liberty, to move you and to woo you out of the principles of the Word of God because of who they stand for. Yes, purity. The white stands for purity. But the blue stands for honor. You can only pick up the newspaper and we can see the slowly ebbing tide of honor that it is depreciating in our country. Honor is something that's kind of like the innocent traveler in the gospel. It has fallen among thieves, and it's wounded, and it's half dead, and it's fell by the side of the road of prosperity and the good life, and even pride. Pride. Honor. Honor must come before pride. There must be no pride. We need to recognize it's kind of like Grover Cleveland. When he was a boy, he insisted on returning an egg that was laid on their side of the fence to their neighbors because he recognized it was not their egg, it was not their chicken that laid the egg, but it was their neighbors. And he was one, and this is something that just fashioned his life to become a president of the United States. Why? Because honesty is always the best policy. We need to recognize and wake up and smell. And I said a couple of these last Sunday in the message that there are not too many honest people in the world today. Not too many honest people. They sacrifice honesty at the cost of everything else, of trying to be somebody or look like somebody or maybe to scratch somebody else's back and try to help them and assist them so that they will help them along life's road. I picked up something about John Wanamaker. Many of you may not know him. He was one of the wealthiest men of last century. He started to work at age 11 as a laborer in his father's brickyard. In later years, he became one of the wealthiest merchants of the United States. He said this. He says, "I have made purchases costing millions of dollars." And he testified, "But my greatest purchase was made when I was a country boy, 11 years old. Then I bought a small red leather Bible for $2.75. I paid for the Bible week by week as I earned the money." This is what he said. "That little red Bible has counted for more than anything else in my life. It was the greatest and the most important and the far-reaching purchase I have ever made. And every other investment in my life seems to me only secondary. Why the importance of the Word of God? Because the Word of God teaches honesty. It teaches us to be what God would have us to be. The projection of the Word of God in our lives as we read and study the Word of God. Let me tell you something. If you'll get into the Word will get into you. It'll change your life. Change your life. We need to understand that. We need to recognize that. Yes, as we think about honor. What is honor? What is honor? Listen to this. Americans, I would speak to you. Listen to my history. Hallow my spirit. Uphold my heart. Keep sacred my covenant. For I am you, the American people. I am the flag. Remember that I withstood the assaults of freedom and man's inalienable rights to liberty and dignity. I was christened in agony. Our American seamen were seized on the high seas and hanged as pirates. This was when America had no national flag. Congress birthed our flag of 13 stars in answer to such tyranny. Think of what conditions would be today if we had no flag. I have been true to our destiny. God designed this nation to serve the dignity of man. The flag of freedom has given its bounty to others. I have honored the pledge and visions of our forefathers. I have brought hope to a world. I have witnessed oppression. I have answered the needs of humanity. I have given testimony on the battlefields that I will be a watchguard of liberty. I have given evidence that I care about the hungry and sick. Where my colors fly, the heart of America is on display. America hopes for the future in my spirit, for I represent freedom and democracy. I am all men who seek liberty and justice. Sacrifice and blood has been the price I have paid in devotion to the call of man. When my staff was broken in battle, brave and valiant hands have raised me on the heights again. I have draped the bodies of the brave. I have been the bear to those who gave the supreme sacrifice of life. When ignoble men have desecrated my colors, patriots with reverence have clasped me to their breast. I fly over cities and towns, over villages and spires. I am you, the American people. I proclaim liberty and justice and democracy. My destiny is freedom and human dignity. I have watched through the dawns of your history. I have seen sights that live forever in the hearts and spirit of America. My color blue, my blue field is honor. My red stripes are for the blood shed for liberty. My white stripes are for justice and purity. I seek nothing from the world except to serve the divine purpose of mankind. I ask nothing of you, my people, except that you remember why I was born. I give you the sublimest spirit of brotherhood. I am the United States of America. I fly proudly, bravely, and with love. I am sacred as a symbol of your progress and destiny as a nation. When my staff is broken, will you rise me aloft to glory? For I am the people. The people are the flag. My blue cannons bear the 50 stars for 50 states. I have been a long journey from the original 13 states and perhaps more to come. I have served you well. Do you love me enough to do the same for me? Do you love me enough to do the same for me? You know, it makes no difference what other nations say about America. Let me tell you something. We are the talk of other nations. At the present time, we're the talk of other nations. But no matter what other nations may say about the United States, immigration is still the sincerest form of flattery. We have people that are literally dying to come here. Why? Why? Because they recognize that we as Americans, we have freedom. And let me tell you something, we need to let it ring for the glory of God. We need to understand what it means to be a free people. But let me tell you, that freedom costs something, and we need to understand that. I ask you, would you please stand with me, and let's pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. While you're standing, that's no good whatsoever unless you have given your allegiance to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Why live in a free land, in a free country, and not understand what freedom is all about? See, Jesus came so that we could know and have freedom. Are you free tonight in Him? Do you know the truth that will set you free? And Jesus is that freedom. Let's pray together. Lord, I do not know the hearts here, but I know one thing, that we're American citizens, and we have a grave responsibility before us, the symbol of our freedom, the symbol of who we are, in recognition of that. But we have another flag, and that is the Christian flag. And we pledge allegiance to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One brotherhood uniting all Christians in service and love. Why? Because He paid the ultimate sacrifice, not for our nation, yes, but our nation, but for us individually and collectively as a body. And I pray, God, tonight, if there's one here that has never put their faith and trust in You as Lord and Savior, that this would be today, that they come to know what it means to be free, a free from the bondage and the penalty and the plight and the guilt of sin, and they would know what it means to be a child of Yours. God, would You have Your will accomplished in each and every heart and life here tonight is our prayer. Lord, I pray that if there's those that need to come to the altar tonight and say, God, I want to renew my patriotism to our country, and I want to renew my commitment to You. I want to be all that You'd have me to be. I want to go where You'd have me to go. I want to be the witness You'd have me to be for Your name's honor and glory. I pray, oh God, tonight that You would just have Your will and way through the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit, even now as we sing. Amen. Hymn of commitment.